spooky? Do you think I'm spooky?
I told my mom I thought I saw a werewolf. And my mom believed me.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay. Serious crap.
You think these people were eaten?
My dog stepped on a bee.
Unidentified flying objects. I think that fits the description pretty well.
Haunted human remains.
He's dead, but he has the power to move and kill.
She was bludgeoned to death with an axe.
A giant, hairy creature, part ape, part man.
When I stand on the mountain and I say, do it, it gets done. If it don't get done, then I'll move on it. And that's the last thing in the world you want me to...
And this is the Spookies Podcast.
So, is Donald Trump Hitler?
No, Hitler wrote a book.
Have you read Mein Kampf?
The book about how I should be killed? Yes, I have. I have read many bad books. The Bible, the Quran, the Satanic Bible, Dean Koontz novels. I have just offended everyone listening all at once. Boom, boom, boom. Hitler was an evil tyrant, but he had a coherent ideology. Trump has Big Mac and fries.
So, have you read White Fragility?
No, I'm not into BDSM. Trump is a fascist, but he's more of a two-bit con man than anything else. This is Michael.
And I'm Stephanie. And welcome to a special Halloween episode of the Spookies Podcast.
It's Halloween and our wedding anniversary. How fitting.
Yes, we are celebrating by bringing you content.
This is our final Halloween story of the week. I know everybody's finally like, God, it's over. Thank God.
This is not episode 50. This is a special bonus episode.
Episode 50 is Witches and Witchcraft, a back to basics episode, where we talk about something weird and macabre that drops early next month. So what could be more scary than Halloween? A presidential election. I want to say we support Kamala Harris. Or is it Kamala? Kamala?
It's Kamala.
Communist.
Shut the fuck up.
And if us supporting Kamala Harris offends you, so be it. We are always honest with you guys. Call me a libtard, call me a cuck, call me a communist Jew.
Am I a socialist, commie, libtard, alien that lives on the moon? I don't know. Maybe.
Woke feminist.
That shit too.
If you think I give a shit, the joke is on you. Whoever you are voting for, vote your conscience. And if you're like me and you're not voting, just do that.
You're too voting.
I don't think I can, so I got to get my license renewed.
He doesn't have his physical ID because the state is stupid, so he renewed it, and they're like, you must come in.
I don't really care.
Well, you do need a new picture.
Yeah.
You
well,
look like-
it's still going to be bad, though. I will say this. Look, whether you support Harris or Trump, stop looking at the polls. It's junk science. Just go ask a bum off the street who's going to win. You'll have better luck. I am under no illusions that the rich will remain the real rulers, whoever wins. Okay? There's not going to be some big change where suddenly, oh, the poor and the middle class have a chance. We don't.
No.
It's a corrupt system, and politicians are ultimately puppets for oligarchs like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, who run all these special interests and lobbyists, and that's who controls the power.
They are the real rulers.
And the bankers.
They are the real deep state.
Right.
The conspiracy theorists who support the billionaires are a sick joke. Chickens for KFC. It's all a charade, and charades usually are hilarious. I cannot stand Donald Trump. It goes beyond policy. He's a drama queen, and I loathe people like that. He's just a disgusting person, a defective human being.
It's also his fucking voice.
I can't stand his voice.
I can't listen to that man.
Somebody's going to say, I can't stand your voices. Well, so what?
Well, then you don't have to fucking listen.
Yes. Nobody cares.
But I can't. I don't want to hear him rant and rave every day. Do you guys remember how exhausting that was? It was tiring.
Yeah, say what you will about me, but I don't sit here and rant and rave in your face every day about how everybody's mean to me all the time, every day.
So mean.
Imagine that. Imagine that.
And also, like, your dick size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or talking about Arnold Palmer's dick size, because he did.
That was weird.
In the shower, he had a big dick.
You're checking out other dudes? What is happening?
Very gay. Very gay.
The homophobe. If you want to be gay, actually gay.
That's fine, but don't be gay like Trump. The Trump version of gay is a very bad gay. And it's funny how all the conspiracy theorists do not care about Trump's 25-25 plan or 20-25 plan. Turns out they wanted big government as long as it was Jesus in their bedroom.
Yeah. You know, that also means you can only fuck missionary style. I just want you to know that. That's all you're allowed to do. Some of it is through a fucking sheet.
Well,
so.
Most of those people aren't fucking anyway, so they're fucking a doll named Ted.
I'm just saying, for the trad families who are really creepy...
Look, I believe...
If you're going to follow your cherry pick your book, you need to look at what they say of how you are allowed to copulate. Because apparently it's only in one way.
I'm very pro-family. I'm very, like, you need families for society to be stable.
Absolutely.
But Project 25, or I want to say 25-25 because that fucking song. Project Trump.
Yeah.
It's a theocratic plan for douchebaggery.
Well, and we already have dead women in these states of people who are having like preeclampsia, eclampsia, a lot of like very treatable illnesses that happen, complications during pregnancy. And rather than saving these women's lives, they let them go septic or they're miscarrying in hospital bathrooms. These aren't just made up stories. This is real life. So it's already happening. And I don't know how you can look any woman in the eye and support that kind of shit. I don't know how you, yes, as a woman, can look your daughters or any other young women who are fertile age, right? Mm-hmm. And support the kind of things that these people support, because it's not just Trump. Trump doesn't really have an ideology, but the other people around him do. And he's fucking old, so that guy's going to poop off. At any moment, he could just fucking die. And then who's left in charge?
They're fine with Vance? The abortions as long as the mother dies too. Then they're fine with,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, and it kills the babies. Yeah. So
the babies are dead. The mom's dead. It's fine.
Mother and infant mortality rate have skyrocketed since they reversed
this
Roe
v. Wade. This is a fact. I know, you know, TikTok and Facebook tell you it's not a fact, but you don't listen to TikTok and Facebook.
And these are people who want their children, okay? These are people who want their kids. And then it doesn't even allow for incest victims. So you're telling me a child of 12 needs to carry a incest baby to full term? That is wrong. Her body can't handle it, for one thing.
I'm just
like, it's disgusting.
I'm still like, conspiracy theorists, what a bunch of bootlickers you turned out to be.
For real. I mean, this is actually a conspiracy happening. This is a real
now,
conspiracy.
Before you say liberal tears, there's a very good chance Kamala Harris wins, so you will be crying.
please, God.
I will say, if Trump wins, he wins. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I just want it to be over.
Look, I just need to get health care. So if he fucks that up again, and I can't get fucking health care, because I think I can finally get it again, I'm going to be mad, because your girl is sick, and she needs health care in order to stay healthy.
The other issue with Trump winning, and this is one of my biggest concerns, is that if he wins, the left will respond by going further down the woke rabbit hole of,
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
We were finally starting to come out of some of that crazy.
Yeah.
Let's not go back.
I can't do it again. I can't. I've seen so many like interesting or funny people, like comedians and things like that, like just lose their
shit.
They
lost their damn mind.
Especially after 2020 because of COVID. And we also saw people who weren't conspiracy theorists also lose their fucking minds because of 2020.
It broke their brains.
Yeah, being trapped inside. And you know, that's
which
the byproduct of being in a plague.
Is, mm-hmm, what tonight's story is about. It's about how 2020 broke someone's brain. I hope Trump loses because he's mentally unfit. Just like Joe Biden is mentally unfit to be president. Too goddamn old.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put all the old white men in a nursing home and forget about them. You know, like we do our parents. Make America free of dementia again. Old people, go away. I'm cruel. I'm mean. I'm an asshole.
Well, you always say that old people are mean to you.
Yeah, I'm an asshole.
But do you think it's because they can sense that you don't like them?
It's because I have autism.
Shut the fuck up.
They can sense it. They're like, he's autistic. I don't have autism, by the way. I'm just a dick.
Michael does have resting bitch face when he does not give a fuck.
Yeah, I'm an asshole.
That's what they don't. They're like, what is this dick doing in the grocery store?
I'm an asshole who hates assholes. Go figure.
You do hold doors open for people and stuff. You're courteous.
Yeah, sometimes. Especially if the woman's hot. So.
Shut up.
I believe in chivalry. Again, I am very traditionally masculine in that sense of old school masculine.
Yeah, and I'm
for it, man.
I appreciate it.
I'm for it. I'm like Steve Rogers. I'm Captain America, you know?
Which I know sounds stupid because you're like, Steph, aren't you a feminist? Yes. But I also like it when my man is romantic with me.
She's a traditional woman.
I like that he pulls out chairs for me and stuff. I like that shit, okay? I will always like it. And look, you can do this in same-sex relationships, too. There's no one saying you can't.
Yeah, we're fine with that.
I'm fine with it. I like chivalry. I think it can go both ways. I really do think that.
I don't care if this makes me sound like a cocker. I'm not a male feminist. I don't identify that. I'm an ally to women, but I'm not a fucking male feminist. So don't call me that. But I do not support Trump because I care about the rule of law. This is a true crime podcast. Yes, we care about the rule of law.
Yeah, that part too. How did we forget about that?
I mean, I know it's more, you know, just Michael's fan fiction lately, but we will get back to the true crime.
The motherfucker is a felon. He's a fucking felon. I don't know why he's free.
And I care about women having control over their bodily autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the rich to pay their fair share. Now, I'm not saying if Kamala wins, you know, the rich are going to be
suddenly
persecuted,
be held, you know, to account.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen.
But they're certainly not if Trump wins.
No.
I mean, Bezos is making deals with Trump. You know, the oligarchs.
All of them are making deals with Trump.
Deals with Trump to control Trump.
Yeah.
He is their puppet.
Mm-hmm.
All you conspiracy dorks, he is a puppet of the deep state. I want this whole golden age of assholes to go away. I want the bro culture to go away.
Yeah.
I want the Elon Musk bullshit, Cybertruck shit to go away.
Yeah.
I want all these manosperm, whatever fucking weirdos to go away.
You know what? And just to be fair, because I'm gonna throw a bone out here. That includes the fem cells too.
No, I can't stand them.
They're
either.
Creepy as fuck. Go away.
I can't stand the people whose whole identity is based around being trans or being gay
or hating men
or
hating women,
any of those weirdos.
Yeah,
I can't stand any of them.
We don't like
them. I'm not saying I hate gay people or trans people. I'm just saying if that is your whole identity,
yeah,
and being angry and being obnoxious
and playing the victim,
yes, you're cringe. Get the fuck out of here. Or the whole people who are like, my whole identity is that I'm Islam.
Yeah.
And I hate Jews. Or, you know, you're a Zionist and you hate Muslims. Fuck off. Fuck all these people. I'm George Carlin. I'm a boomer over here yelling, yeah, fuck you.
Well, I do think we do have a lot of pragmatic listeners because I've talked to some of you, and it does give me heart that there's many of us out here that are feeling frustrated with society these days because so much of it is online, which isn't real.
The politics is turned into fucking wrestling.
I hate it. And I also don't...
It's WWE.
I also don't like... Remember, I mean, there was a time, and this... I'm going to show my age, but there was a time that it just because someone was a Republican or conservative didn't mean they were your enemy or you couldn't hang out. Like, you could still be friends with these people
I
and have conversations.
I can talk to people who disagree with me.
Right. But I can't talk to people who are like... And this goes for like the far left too. People who are just down the rabbit holes
of crazy.
Yes. I can't deal with this shit. Like, what am I supposed to do with you? My friend was telling me at the university she goes to, it's not the one here in Lawrence, but there's a person who identifies as a fucking cat. So they had to put a litter box in the women's restroom. So she refuses to use the restroom now. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
I see so many...
What the fuck is happening?
I see so many Cybertrucks. I'm sure somebody identifies as a fucking Cybertruck.
But they can't drive them in the rain because they'll rust. No. And it'll null the whatever warranty, shitty warranty that is on that piece of shit.
Look, if you see Elon Musk jumping up and down like a dork and you think that guy is a visionary, you go ahead.
He's trying to make the shape of X because he's obsessed with the letter X.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he's not a Scientologist, you know, because Xenu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He seems like a guy who'd really be into sports drinks. Like X.
Or you mean like the monster caffeine style drinks? Yeah,
but it'd just be called bro. Bro.
No, but it would be X. It would be like X drink.
It would be called bro and it would lower your...
Bro X.
It would lower your sperm count.
Well, that's what Mountain Dew does.
Yeah, because it's just another form of Mountain Dew.
Because of the bromide. Literally, do not drink this shit.
Well, bromide, yeah, bro. All right.
That's. Did we do enough ranting?
Yeah.
Have enough political ranting before the election? No one's going to listen to
this story now. They're like, I'm done. Fuck them.
I mean, you can fast forward through this.
Yeah.
If you have to. I understand. Not everyone wants to hear this fucking
story.
All
right, let's get to tonight's Halloween story. It's not an anti-Trump story. I know when it starts off, you're like, oh God, this is a political rant. It's not. It transcends ideology because we want to make Halloween great again. I think this is my favorite of the three. Mm-hmm. Save the worst for last.
We will be doing a special Patreon episode where we unpack all three of these Halloween stories. Night Call, Meet Me in the Woods Tonight, and the Halloween special.
There will be alcohol involved. It will be a good time. All right. Written by me, narrated by Stephanie. This is Doug Crowder and the Haitian Cannibal Invasion.
Springfield, Ohio, October 31st, 7:32 p.m. On Halloween night, the suburban neighborhood felt trapped in a tense, unspoken fear. Neighborhood watch signs were scattered like warnings, silent reminders of the community's heightened vigilance. Crisp autumn leaves rustled under the hurried steps of trick-or-treaters. Parents, tense and watchful, scanned the streets, bracing for a darker presence to emerge from the shadows behind the glowing jack-o'-lanterns. Each pumpkin on the block had been carved with the same smirking face of Donald Trump, grinning in orange, flickering with an unsettling life of its own. The haunted night wind carried more than the creaking of decorations. It whispered the unease brought on by a nation divided, its dread amplified by the upcoming election. Inside his bunker of a living room, 68-year-old Doug Crowder sat like a soldier in a trench, wearing a faded t-shirt that read, "Official Election Theft Survivor." Elon Musk's X platform blazed across his phone screen as Doug sat amidst an arsenal that John Wick would consider excessive. This was Doug's own personal January 6th, his last stand. He'd bought the blue, investing in both a cause and an identity, proudly flaunting his digital allegiance to the MAGA movement and his political fandom. With one hand, he posted frantic rants to his 12 followers. With the other, he slid bullets into a revolver. Doug doesn't just believe in conspiracies. He lives them. "Political violence is a liberal disease," he tweeted, his thumb stabbing the send button, shaking with fury. Another bullet, another post. "Self-defense is all we've got left against the demonic pedophiles." Click, post. The metallic click echoed as he loaded another round into his AR-15. Fox News was blaring in the background, the latest hysterical headline screaming, "Satanic invasion at the border." Doug's eyes widened. The sound of ominous music swelled with every passing second. Stock footage of caravans splashed across the screen as if the very gates of hell had opened. Doug suffered under the tyranny of the algorithm, living in horror that something terrible was always about to happen. The house, devoid of Halloween spirit, was cold, mirroring the seething bitterness in Doug's chest. His grip on the revolver tightened. Around him, his living room was the unholy offspring of Home Depot and a Steve Bannon podcast. An AR-15 lay on the couch with a MAGA blanket, waiting for its big moment. Two sawed-off shotguns were propped against the armchair, and an actual grenade launcher sat like a centerpiece on the coffee table, its barrel crudely engraved with the words, "Immigrant Remover." Doug hit send again, then picked up a sawed-off shotgun with an almost sacred awe, as though he was blessing him with each new tweet. This wasn't just an arsenal. It was a catastrophe waiting to happen. The terrifying love child of social media echo chambers and the loss of a shared reality. Doug was ready. Ready for war. The once idyllic neighborhood outside now felt like a battlefield. One between white America and a new foreign threat. He felt the walls closing in as though he were under siege in his own home. The town of Springfield had changed. An influx of immigrants, mysterious people speaking strange tongues. He had heard the rumors about the Haitians, the dog-eating, voodoo-practicing foreigners who had taken over his once pristine town. Doug shook his head, eyes narrowing as he replayed conspiracy theories he'd consumed. They weren't just stealing pets. They were stealing America itself, one suburb at a time. First, they came for the dogs, then the Constitution. He was sure of it. His fingers brushed the smooth metal of the revolver beside him as he fantasized about protecting his home, his town, his country. Doug had heard all the rumors. Social media was ablaze with tales that the transgendered Haitians were stealing pets, grilling them in secret backyard barbecues, and summoning spirits with voodoo dances in the local Walmart parking lot. It absolutely terrified Doug to his core. He lived in a state of constant fear. Doug had become so extreme and unhinged that his son and daughter wanted nothing to do with him. They ignored his texts, and his calls always went straight to voicemail. He had become a sad, old man of the lunatic fringe. Were they really even his children anymore? Doug wondered. Or had they been vaccinated and turned into doppelgangers to spy on him? Pod people for California Kamala and the Haitian cannibal invasion. Paranoia surged through him as he prepared himself for an attack that only he could see coming, convinced the world outside his door was spiraling into chaos. Doug could feel it like a pressure building in his skull. It wasn't always this way. Doug had once been a civil rights activist who voted for Obama twice. And then 2020 happened. Martha, his wife, dead. The lies they told him about her death. COVID-19? No. Doug had figured it out. It wasn't the virus. There was no virus. The pandemic had all been a globalist hoax. It was them. The 5G towers, the Wi-Fi, the deep state. They had killed her. And now they were coming for him. His heart pounded in his chest, a wild, erratic beat. His mind buzzed with racing thoughts. Every scroll through Facebook fed his rage, his isolation. Doug's 80-year-old neighbor, Evelyn Peterson, hadn't been seen in a week. A whole week! Doug was certain of it now. The Haitian cannibals were picking them off, one by one, starting with the whitest targets. First Evelyn, then who? Her yappy dog had stopped barking, her windows dark. Proof enough for Doug that the Haitians had eaten her and her dog. She was just the beginning. White genocide. Great replacement theory. Doug knew exactly what was happening. He saw it clear as day. And no one was going to eat him or take his country, his home, from him. Doug had followed far-right news networks and devoured conspiracy theories that blamed the town's decline on what he characterized as the Antifa ninjas from Haiti. He believed it was all part of a master plan, an immigrant wave of dog-devouring destruction destined to obliterate America, one kibble at a time. Joe Biden, the great deceiver, was the mastermind behind it all. Doug knew that as sure as he knew the sun would rise. Tucker Carlson would never lie to him. If Tucker said Biden was a demon in a grandpa mask, well, that was good enough for Doug. Doug held two contradictory beliefs at once. That Biden was a doddering old fool, fumbling through his days with dementia. And, at the same time, a literal demon in a rubber mask, grinning like a friendly neighborhood grandpa, while secretly plotting world domination between naps and ice cream breaks. Stewing in his hatred and resentment, Doug flinched as the doorbell rang, snapping him from his paranoid thoughts. He grabbed his Donald Trump mask, which he wore like a shield of orange power, and shuffled to the door, clutching a bowl of treats he had prepared, honey, glue, and mayonnaise mixed together in a disgusting concoction. It wasn't poisoned, but it was cruel, just like he felt the world had been to the white race. For Doug Crowder, this was a spiritual war to save Western civilization from the demonic plague of the woke mind virus. He opened the door, the hinges creaking as he faced three kids in costume, two black boys and a girl, innocently holding their bags, a skeleton, a pumpkin, and a witch. Trick or treat, they cheered, their smiles bright under the soft glow of the nearby jack-o'-lantern. Doug sneered under his mask. To him, they weren't just children. They were symbols of everything wrong with the country, everything that had changed, an America he no longer recognized. He reached into the bowl and dropped the sticky mess into the kids' bags, his eyes wild beneath the mask. "Now get the hell off my porch, you DEI brats," Doug snarled. The kids' faces fell, their excitement vanishing as they quickly retreated into the night, their bags swinging limply at their sides. Doug slammed the door shut, yanking the mask off and throwing it aside. His heart pounded, breath quickening as the house fell into an oppressive silence. The quiet was suffocating, pressing in on him from all sides. The doorbell rang again. Doug groaned, pulling himself up with a grunt. He grabbed the Trump mask once more, sliding it over his face. His pulse quickened as he opened the door, only to find no one was there. The wind stirred the leaves, but the porch was empty. Doug's eyes darted around and his heart thumped in his chest. "I'm armed, you anchor babies," he barked, slamming the door shut. The mask felt smothering now, but he kept it on. Ding dong. Again, Doug stormed to the door, revolver in hand, his grip tightening around the cold metal. His hands shook as he opened the door, but the porch was empty yet again. He ripped the mask off, throwing it on the table. The quiet of the street, the emptiness, it unnerved him more than he cared to admit. "Show yourselves," he shouted into the night, but only the wind answered him. He locked the door, muttering under his breath, "Cockroaches everywhere," as if to reassure himself that his paranoia was justified. The doorbell rang again, sharp and urgent. Doug stuffed the mask on his head once more. His grip on the gun tightened. This was it. The attack he had long feared was here. He took a deep breath, his hands trembling as he approached the door, nerves fraying in a final surge of defiance. "Wokeness dies tonight," he shouted into the emptiness, flinging the door open, revolver raised. Standing on his porch was another man, his face hidden behind the same Trump mask Doug wore. The stranger's hand lifted, aiming a gun straight at Doug. In that split second, Doug saw himself, a reflection of the same fear, the same hatred, staring back at him. He had no time to react as the man fired. A shot exploded into the night. Doug felt the bullet go deep in his chest. His revolver slipped from his hand, clattering onto the porch as he stumbled backward, feet tangling until he collapsed to the ground, his back hitting the cold, unforgiving wood. Doug lay sprawled across his crimson-stained porch, dark blood seeping from his chest, his life draining with every shallow breath. The autumn air chilled him, and his vision dimmed, but one image remained painfully clear, the silhouette of his assassin, a white man in a Trump mask, standing over him, gun still raised, staring down in shock. As the mask slipped from Doug's face, revealing his pale, slack skin, the stranger looming over him staggered backward, the realization settling over him, heavy and sickening. White. The man he had shot was white. Wrong house. Wrong race. The shooter had come tonight to save America, to stop the invaders, to defend his way of life. Months steeped in a culture war of fear, hours lost to scrolling social media, had led him to this porch. Wrong house. Wrong race. The man's stomach lurched as the weight of his mistake crashed down on him, leaving him gasping in horror. Doug's vision darkened, memories of simpler times flashing briefly in his mind, the warm glow of his children's laughter on this very porch, Halloween costumes and smiles he hadn't thought about in years. But those days felt impossibly far away now, lost in the chasm that had opened between him and reality. Doug Crowder discovered the bitter irony in this final, fleeting moment. He wasn't fighting to protect his home. He was fighting the man in the mirror. And then the darkness took him. His killer turned and fled into the night, disappearing into the Halloween fog as his tires screeched against the pavement. In its wake, Only silence remained, broken by the quiet drip of blood and the eerie stillness of American carnage. So here lies Douglas Crowder, fallen on a quiet suburban porch on Halloween night, under indifferent stars, a casualty of a war without borders, fought not by armies, but in the minds of men who had long forgotten what they were fighting for. In his obsession to guard against imagined enemies, Doug became a victim of the very hatred he embodied, his fate sealed by a shared delusion crafted by architects of fear and sustained by technology. The same algorithms that fed his paranoia will now exploit his death, igniting new waves of conspiracy and fear-mongering, spreading the seeds of hate even further.
The wrong sign, in the wrong house, with the wrong ascendancy.